One of the things that makes our Bible study effective is memorizing the books of the Bible. All right? Memorizing the books of the Bible. So there's really nothing around it. Okay? We really have to do it. Okay? So don't ignore memorizing the Bibles, please. If you can, just keep memorizing it. If it doesn't stick, guess what? Keep doing it. All right? It will stick eventually. You're looking at an example. Okay? It will stick. So don't worry about it. Okay. So we've talked about the things that's required for to have a good Bible study, an effective Bible study. We said an effective Bible study requires, number one, requires a spiritual life. For you to be able to study the Bible effectively, you have to be saved. A good example in the Bible is where? What was the story about? About the eunuch, right? He said, Philip said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And what was his answer? His answer was, "How can I except somebody shows me?" Right? And so, again, that's something. And by the way, did the eunuch get saved? He did, right? And we see that in this few verses from that story. Okay? So, we said that also, an effective Bible study requires faith. Faith meaning that we have faith in the Bible itself, that it is the very word of God. Because if you cannot have faith in the Bible, that everything that the Bible says is true, guess what? Your studying the Bible is a futile exercise. All right? So number three, we should have the right goals. Having the right goals is, what is your purpose of studying the Bible? Right? To know the will of God and to do the will of God. Okay? So basically, you have to have those right goals. You also have to have the right priority. And the right priority for a Christian is what? God first. Right? And anything that has anything to do with God, that's our priority. And so the Bible should be a priority. That's where we spend our time first, before anything else. Okay? So we have the right priority. An effective Bible study also, number five, requires a hunger for God and His truth. A hunger for God. We eat our physical food, right? But what about our spiritual food? Are we even concerned about what we eat? How we feed our spiritual body, right? And so we need to have the hunger for God, because the Bible is God's truth. We need to have that hunger for His truth, because that's the way He speaks to us. Okay? And sixthly, we need to have an effective Bible study, we need concentration and focus. Concentration and focus. The thing is, sometimes when we sit down and study the Bible, there are times where you probably realize that you're wandering. Your mind wanders, right? Your mind wanders and thinking about food, what's there to eat at lunch, right? And so sometimes we need to be able to sit down and concentrate. If you just keep doing it, guess what? You'll be able to stay on focus. We're reading the Word of God. Why? Because we want God to speak to us that day, right? And if so, we need to stay focused, and concentrated on what He's telling us, because that's our guide, basically, right? And number seven, studying the Word of God requires hard work, right? a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The student is called a workman. And that involves work, by the way, because if it doesn't involve work, everybody would be doing it. Right? And so if it involves work, guess what? Because we're by default lazy, we don't want to spend time on something that's not important to us. That's exactly what we're trying to do. The Bible is not important to us because we don't even spend time on reading the Word of God. Because it shows exactly, if you're reading the Word of God, then the Word of God is important to you. But if it's not, guess what? You won't. Right? Also, an effective Bible study requires prayer. We need to pray for God's wisdom, for God's guidance, for God's direction. And when He speaks to us, that's exactly the answer to our prayers. Right? So we need to pray for that God illumine our heart through His truth, the Bible. And number nine, we need effective Bible study requires patience and persistence. Sometimes we just don't feel like it. Or you always like reading the Word of God. There are times that when we sit down, guess what? We don't feel like it. It's maybe I'll read it this at noon or this afternoon, right? But the thing is, we need to be patient and we need to be persistent in reading the Word of God. Even if we don't feel like it, we still go ahead and open it because we're letting God speak to us. And if you don't open the Bible, guess what? God will not speak to you. And so we're weak that day. We're weak, right? And number 10, we need effective Bible study requires paying attention to the details. Paying attention to the details, guess what? Nothing in the Bible or everything in the Bible is important. It's of the same importance. Okay? Nothing is more important than anything else, or nothing is more important than another verse. They're all equally important to us, right? And so we need to pay attention to what God is saying. Because if we don't pay attention, guess what? There's no direction in your life that very day. Okay? And 11, we need obedience. We need to obey. The Bible says, search the scriptures. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Those are commands, by the way. And if it say command, we need to what? Obey, right? We need to obey. So it requires obedience. And number 12, I think this is where we stopped. Number 12, effective Bible study requires confession of sin. Confession of sin. What is Psalm 66 and verse 18? Psalm 66 and verse 18, what is it? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me, right? Psalm 66 and verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And so, read it differently. If I don't regard, or if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Right? So the Lord will not hear you because there's sin in your heart. Now, what does it take for God to hear us? Sorry? That's one of the things, repentance. The other one's confession, right? If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, right? So He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. The thing is, he's only faithful and just to forgive us our sins if you satisfy a condition. What's the condition? Right? If I confess my sins, confession is a requirement. It's a condition for God to cleanse us from our sin. Because if we don't confess our sins, guess what? Will you have forgiveness? As we have seen, the carnal believer cannot understand the deep things of God. How does the believer deal with the sin problem? By repentance and confession. Now, confession is with our lips, saying that we have sinned, acknowledging that we have sinned. That's confession. What about repentance? Where does repentance come in? Repentance is a change of mind resulting to a change of life. Okay? So, a change of mind resulting to a change of life. Repentance is turning away or turning around 180 degrees, turning the other way. Right? And so, if you repent for your sins and still do the same thing again, over and over and over again, there's no repentance. Right? Repentance is a change of mind resulting in a change of behavior or a change of life. That's what repentance is all about. That's why it's important that when you confess your sins, guess what? There has to be repentance as well. Repentance is how you look at things. Now I don't look at sin as sin, but it's something that breaks your fellowship with God. It doesn't break the relationship because the relationship is still there. You don't lose your salvation. However, you lose your fellowship with God, right? And to restore that fellowship, there is that repentance that we need to do. We need to repent for our sins. It is crucial that the believer confess his sins so that he can grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So confession of sin is important as well if we are to have an effective Bible study. And number 13, effective Bible study requires humility. Humility. You see, the proud person will not learn anything from the Lord. God requires humility. You see, if you're a believer, must submit himself to God and accept that which God has spoken. See, a proud person will not even open the Bible. Right? The proud person will not open or read the Bible. Okay. Well, if you continue to sin, that's okay. Now, sin does not break your relationship with God, but it breaks the fellowship because we never lose our salvation. If your salvation is genuine and you're the only one that knows that, I can't tell you whether you're genuinely saved. Nobody can. It's your relationship. That's your personal relationship. However, I can say you're saved because I can see in what you do. James says, "Show me your faith by your works, and I'll show my faith by my works." Right? And so the manifestation of my salvation is in what you see in me. Because if I say I'm a Christian, I'm saved, and what you see in me is just like an ordinary unsaved person, guess what? There's no difference. Okay? If any man be in Christ, guess what? He's a new creature. All things are passed away. All things are become new. And if there's no change in your life, guess what? There's a problem. Yes, once you've accepted Jesus Christ, and you're genuine in that, in your acceptance, guess what? That's your ticket to heaven, correct? But that's not all there is, right? We are saved. However, we need to do good things, good works, right? It's not, we don't depend on good works to be saved, but because we do good works because we are saved. There's difference. All right? There's difference. We don't do good works because we want to be saved. Is that clear? We want to stress that fact that it's we don't depend upon good works. Okay. That's correct. Yes. We need to be careful because we have actually it's not just rewards but something that we offer God. Right? It's something that we offer God. And if you face God and there's nothing for you to offer, right? What is that? You know, there's different there's what do you call that offering? The crowns, correct. Who said that? Crowns. It is crowns. Yes. That's why you whatever you do here on earth is what you bring Jesus Christ when you face Him face to face. Right? Those are your crowns. Okay, I'm not too sure I get you. There's no levels, no. Spirit in your life, guess what? It's 100% that you get. Okay? That's something that we can't fathom. But that's exactly how Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit is. You don't accept part of him, but you accept 100% of him. Is that clear? Repentance, see, the thing is, when God restores that fellowship through your repentance, guess what? Won't you break that relationship again? Of course you will. When you sin, guess what? That fellowship. Okay? Sorry. Good thing I realized that. Okay, so it's the fellowship that's broken. And so holiness is a daily thing. You're right. It's a daily thing. Because we're still on earth. We're prone to sin. Right? We're prone to sin. And if we're prone to sin, and if we fall because of our sins, guess what? There's a way out. Right? Confession and repentance. That's what it is. Right? And so, and God... God sees your repentant heart. If you confess and you're repentant for it, guess what? That fellowship is restored. Okay? So any other questions? Otherwise, God will not encourage us to live a holy life on earth, right? If we all a sinner who's not repentant, okay, and he doesn't lose his salvation, he faces God, and a sinner who's a Christian who's careful about what he does on earth, guess what? Would he face the same way as okay? Like I said, when you're not facing Jesus Christ or God, Jesus Christ himself, if we're not facing Jesus Christ as our judge, that's no longer an issue. But we're facing Jesus Christ as our King. Okay? As our Savior. Okay? And so, when we go to heaven, it's not whether or not we're saved, because we are already there. Because otherwise, if you're not saved, you won't go to heaven. You're bound to hell, right? And so, that's not an issue. But the thing, too, is we've got to be careful how we live our life, because we want to offer Jesus Christ, when he face to face, with a crown, right? That's the only thing we can offer Jesus Christ, our crown. And guess what? He will offer also rewards. Like if you're a parent, you love your children the same way, don't you? But guess what? You reward them differently. Right? The same thing. Okay? But there's no different levels of heaven. Okay? As a matter of fact, in hell, there's... Because hell is just a temporary place for us, right? Oh, not for us. Temporary place for unbelievers. Okay? Because that hell will be empty because they will be brought into where? The lake of fire. All right? The lake of fire. Look in Revelations. You'll see that, right? And hell and gave up their dead, right? Let's go there. Revelations chapter 21, I think. Okay, it's chapter 20. Verse 12. Let's start on verse 12. Oh, 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. In verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell, look at this, in verse 14, and death and hell were cast into where? That is the second death. All right? And so, hell is hell. Heaven is heaven. All right? So if you're going to hell, eventually you're going to the lake of fire. But if you're in heaven, you're in heaven. But heaven is everybody that goes to heaven stays in heaven. See, we've gone through this, right? We've gone through this. When Jesus Christ comes in his second coming, the revelation, we call it, right? Jesus Christ will come on earth. And what mountain is that mountain? Mount Olives, right? He'll land on Mount Olives. But who is he with? With everybody else. So we're leaving heaven, aren't we? And what happens there after that? Are we going back to heaven? We're all going to the what? The new Jerusalem, the new heaven and earth, right? And so that's exactly what it is. All right? But your judgment, you're not facing Jesus Christ as your judge. You're facing him as your king. But what you've done on earth, you will get rewards for that. All right? And so if not, guess what? We can live our life the way we please. There's no incentive. Right? There's no incentive. But we're not supposed to live our life. There's what we call holiness. We need to live a holy life. We should be holy because he is holy. Right? We need to be like Jesus Christ. He lived a holy life. Never sinned. Although we can't, we still sin because that's our... because we're still on earth. We're still in this body. Earthly body. Right? And so when we change our body in that rapture, right? When we're changed, then we're going to put on the same body as Jesus Christ. All right? Immortal bodies. All right? Any other questions? Yes, Jonathan. Okay, when the devil is cast into the lake of fire, that's what that said. But there's actually where he would be cast down into the pit, right? Bottomless pit, but only for 1,000 years. Only for 1,000 years. But then after 1,000 years, the devil is also again freed, right? And will deceive many, he says. We've talked about this in our previous lessons, right? We've talked about this, and he will deceive many. And who are those that are deceived? Is it those that came down on earth from heaven? No, right? Those that are saved in the tribulation period. Because they still have not a glorified body, but they're still wearing their earthly bodies. Right? And so But it's not them themselves, because they were saved. That's why they went into the with the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. But they intermarried. When they intermarried, they had children, right? And so when they had children, this are the very people that were deceived by the devil. Okay, those that came out of the tribulation period are already saved. Otherwise, they're not going there. Okay, and so they're saved, but that doesn't, just like us. Our parents are saved, but that doesn't make us saved automatically, right? And so until we do the things that Jesus Christ said, believe, okay, by thy grace ye are saved through faith and not of that of yourself. It is the gift of God. All right? Yes. Yeah, well, yeah. Anything that you do here, you will be rewarded in heaven, or you don't get the reward, right? That okay. So let's move on. Oh, actually, it's just time. Any other questions? If you have other questions, those are interesting questions, and this is interesting comment though. I still, Todd, I'm not too sure I really understand exactly your point, but we can talk again, and let's settle that. Or are you? Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but I still don't get you. Okay, just rewards. Oh, okay, all right. Okay. Yes, Catherine. Carolyn. Yeah, because once you're saved. Okay, I just didn't understand exactly what his question was. So. Yeah, I'm trying to get exactly what he's saying, but. So it's just yeah, once you're saved, right? So that's what your sins regardless, because you're saved, guess what? But the thing is, there's what we call rewards. You will be rewarded with what you have done on earth, right? We'll talk about rewards, okay, maybe next time so we understand exactly what it is, all right? And maybe we'll talk about crowns as well, right? Okay, so, yes, you had a question. Right. Well, the thing is, you're talking about earned crowns or rewards or crowns. Yeah, there's only several crowns. I think there's five crowns.
Yeah, but we don't do these things to earn them. We do good things because we love the Lord, and we just
own. Exactly. Yeah, it's in your heart. Okay, you do all these things not because of the rewards, but because of your love for Jesus Christ, okay? Yes, that's right. Okay, well, it's 10 to 4, and we need to terminate our class, all right? So, but anyways, we'll talk about again on next Sunday. And, oh, I'm sorry. I won't be here for the next 3 weeks, 3 Sundays. So, Pastor is taking over. Okay, so he probably would be starting a new lesson, but just hold that thought. We'll talk about rewards and maybe crowns, but we'll talk about rewards first, okay, in relation to what we're talking about here, effective Bible study. Because guess what? If we don't rightly divide the word of truth, okay, it's not a good thing.